You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
And you are here most likely because you've listened to the previous six episodes, and here is the last episode of the Munch Fast Week. We are watching a film not known for its speed or its fastness, but for its ferocity and furiousness. Furious 7.
That was nice.
I mean, it specifically doesn't have fast in the name, so I had to...
And also, Dominic Toretto does say this ain't just about being fast.
Which is surprising.
And it's implied that it's about being furious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which makes me think about Fates of the Furious. It's not going to be a fast one either.
Fate of the Furious. I keep doing it.
Because
I think it's a collective fate for all of them.
They're all the furious, and it's their fate together.
Right. Yeah.
I guess I didn't think that they would all have the same fate, but...
Their family.
It's all intertwined.
You're right. All right.
We'll find out on Friday.
We will find out on that Friday. All right, so we're going to be doing this podcast a little bit differently, because I think this is a great time for us to take a step back, do kind of a retrospective on the series as a whole. So before we get to our grander thoughts on... what the Fast and Furious franchise is all about, as well as the Munch rating. Let's dive into a few of our segments real quick. So we're just going to get Corona Count out of the way, which was a total of...
Seven.
But we're also going to tag our asterisks right alongside that, because three of those Coronas came in scenes that appeared in previous films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were in flashbacks.
So I don't feel right about saying...
They're previously counted Coronas.
Yes. But I'm also glad that they ended with seven Coronas in this film.
It's fitting. I would say they kind of bookend it. Because the only time they actually talk about Coronas is the first movie where Dom says you can have any beer you want as long as it's a Corona. And then this movie where... Dom is offered what looks like a delicious Belgian ale straight out of a keg and
from the monks in some European country.
And Dom just turns his nose up to it and takes a Corona instead. So like, there's a lot of Corona love in this movie.
A lot of Corona love.
So even though there were only seven, it still felt like a prevalent.
Sorry, Lana, you were going to say something.
I was just going to say that it's a one of a series of throwbacks and fan service that this movie does for people like us who have watched all the movies in rapid succession or just become fans of it over the years.
Yeah.
No other movie we watched felt like it called back to the previous movies nearly as much as this one did.
There's not many movies that have the opportunity either. Like... we've reached seven, now eight films within this franchise. Mm-hmm. I can only think of maybe like three other franchises that reach that point. And those are James Bond, Harry Potter, and Star Wars. Anything I'm missing?
The Avengers.
No. Star Wars definitely does a lot of throwbacks too.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, that
one doesn't
do
throwbacks.
Especially so because much. You do Iron Man 1, 2, and 3. Like, then it feels like that's its own franchise. Avengers technically only has two movies right now.
True.
So it's a little different. But yes, I could see an argument for that. But one thing I was disappointed in this viewing of all the Fast and Furious films was the distinct lack of Coronas across all the films as a whole. I mean, there was the gluttony of Coronas in The Fast and the Furious, as well as a fair bit in Fast and Furious 6, but I was ultimately like a little disappointed because there were multiple entries that just had none.
Well, I'm just going to dive a little bit into human psychology here.
Oh, please do. Doctor.
There's this thing.
The surf doctor.
I want to say it's called like the primacy and recency effect. Like, you remember the first thing that happened in the list and the most recent thing you read in the list.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happens, like I was talking about earlier, with these movies. Like, they bring it up in the first movie, they hit on it pretty hard in the seventh movie, and that's what you remember about the series. You don't remember how much Coronas were consumed in the middle of the series. You remember how it started, You remember how it ended, and they both had a big, big emphasis on Cronus, so you think of it as the Cronus series, even though it's really just started and ended with Cronus.
Some solid Corona bookends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I should get you guys some bookends that are just Corona bottles.
That would
That's
be
That's a
great
funny. Idea, Ben.
I'll work on that. But yeah,
so, a couple months before, like, the next birthday or Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could do something for your anniversary.
Yeah, that's not far.
That's not far away.
That'd be a great one-year anniversary present.
That would be a decent
one-year anniversary. Just a couple empty Corona bottles?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, as bookends, though. Like, they'd have to have, like, the little, like...
Yeah, I would have to build them out into something a little more. Like, I'm imagining maybe... Do you remember those... Maybe I won't be Corona bottles. If Corona cans are a thing, do you remember those ships or, like, airplanes that were built out of Coca-Cola cans, things like that?
No. I remember in True Detective when Matthew McConaughey was nervously making a man out of his
That's
can.
What we want. Get us one of those.
A Corona man.
That's what we need.
And it should look like Vin Diesel.
Mm.
You know, like basically yeah. you just need to make
Diesel
a triangle.
Upside down
Corona
triangle.
Man.
Upside down
yep.
triangle
yes.
and we'll get it.
Okay.
We want that on our bookshelf.
And if you could just give it a little cross necklace too.
I can work on that. I'll work on that.
Okay, like great.
That. You know what a metal Vin Diesel is also a Terminator. Let's cue up that music.
Don't question it. Just go with it.
Oh.
Yes,
you're
and.
Thinking way too long. I thought that was a great segue.
No, it is. I'm just trying to think of like what songs were relevant.
How about you just...
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
There we go.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
We should have been doing that all along. That was such good music for Leanna's Terminator Corner.
Sometimes it takes you a couple tries to find the right one.
Hey, at least you
Rome
got it
wasn't
right
built
in
a day, Leanna.
Yeah.
Or should I say Dom wasn't built in a day.
This is true. Dom. All right, this is the final episode of Leanna's Terminator Corner. And it has been... Thank you so much for joining me on this journey. It's been a real trip. And today, as I was taking notes about what scenes provided further evidence that Dominic is in fact a Terminator, I started to realize that not only in this movie, but in the other movies, there are three distinct buckets that this evidence kind of falls into. So I'm going to take you through those buckets, and you can kind of, if you go back through the other episodes as you're like re-listening to them and like revisiting Leanna's Terminator Corner because you're just trying to find like anything that I might have missed and to add to this fan theory, you can think about things in these buckets and we can start to form a framework to really getting to the bottom of this. How does that sound to you guys?
You're such a PM. All right. Go on.
You just love me?
I do.
Okay. So the first one I want to talk about is technology.
All right.
And there's two things in this movie that really highlight the technology. And one is that they bring back the harpoon guns that we saw in Too Fast, Too Furious. And I don't even remember the name of the sixth movie because the naming conventions of this series are completely fucked.
Furious 6? But I think the full name is Fast and Furious 6?
Yes.
We have Furious 6 and Furious 7?
I think it's just Fast and Furious 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a weird... like. 6 always throws me off because it's like, why would you go back to that after like going Fast 5 and then having Furious 7?
It seems to be Furious 6, which
well, over here it says Fast and Furious 6.
It depends on whether you trust Google or IMDb.
It what about Wikipedia?
Like Wikipedia says Fast and Furious 6.
Is there an official website up for Fast and Furious 6?
Wait, okay, here's an EW article about what the actual title of the sixth movie
breaking
is.
Breaking news in the middle of the Leanna's Terminator Corner, the true name of the sixth Fast and Furious movie.
We are bringing you only the most important and timely information.
This is a 2013 article from Entertainment Weekly.
Let's all roads lead to what
it's
is
a 20 paragraph.
There just needs to be a too long didn't read.
Yeah, so that's the official answer.
Furious 6 is clearly titled Furious 6. That's
a weird choice.
Okay, here we go. Universal confirmed that the title card of the movie is indeed Furious 6. But also insisted the official title of the movie is Fast and Furious 6.
That explains the confusion.
That doesn't help at all.
So
both answers are right. Moving on.
I'm dissatisfied.
It's
whatever you want it to be. Just like Leanna's Terminator Corner.
What?
It's like
wow.
No, like, if you want to believe that there's a Terminator in the movie, then you can.
He's just backtracking.
I feel like that was some serious, like,
No, that's not how it was.
Liana doesn't want to believe Vin Diesel is a Terminator.
I know, this isn't a choice.
These are the facts.
Yes. These are the facts. Okay. The cold, hard facts. Titanium steel facts.
Yes, thank you. Yes. So anyway, so as I mentioned, there is the harpoon gun. It makes another appearance. It's a very... It's still, even in this movie where they take technology to a new level, it still feels out of place. Like, it still feels like it's kind of beyond the years of everything else. It's beyond the cars. It's beyond the planes.
Even though it calls back to the first movie with the harpoons.
The second movie.
The first one was where they use the semis. They shoot the harpoons into the seats of the semi to...
No, these are the harpoons that, like, frazzle the circuits. Yeah.
The tech harpoons. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And then the other piece of technology that they have in this is a thing called the Predator. And this is in the final chase scene. They're going after Ramsey, who is the hacker that has now joined the Fast and Furious family. And the, like, opposing forces are chasing them in helicopters, and then they just unleash this drone called the Predator. And the shape of it is so similar to all of the ships that they show in the Terminator movies that have Terminators walking off of them. It has the dual hover jets that, like, lift it off. And it just, it can't be anything other than, like, a model version of what will soon be a Terminator ship. So those are my technology pieces.
So clarification on this. The technology that we saw in Furious 7 is a iteration of it before what we see in some of the Furious... before what we see in some of the Terminator films?
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand the chronological order.
I'm not clear on the timeline, Ben. Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. Okay. I'm not clear on that. And I think I'm going to have to go back and watch all of the Terminator movies to really come up with a firm theory on that. Because a lot of what happens in the Fast and Furious feels like it could be happening in tandem with the rise of Skynet. And that Skynet hasn't, like, fully dropped yet. So...
The Terminators go back in time. Right.
There's time travel in the Terminator series as well, and so that also complicates things.
Okay, so what I'm thinking is the Terminator movies started coming out in, like, the late 80s, early 90s.
Correct.
So at that point, 2015 is far in the future, but not far enough in the future that Skynet has happened. So this is, like, the origin stories of Skynet we're going to lead into...
I'm going to table this for later, and I will promise our listeners that I will come back to you with a firm... timeline that places the Fast and Furious movies within the Terminator like timeline.
I think we could roll this into another podcast series called
Leanna's Terminator Corner.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I was going to, like, in the vein of Munch Fast Week, I was going to be like
Terminator Tuesdays.
Yeah. That's a nice ring to it.
It is Tuesday.
Just every Tuesday we meet up, watch a new Terminator film.
I'm into it.
I can see that.
Sure.
So anyway, moving on from technology, the next part I want to talk about is super strength. So we've touched on this a number of times. There's a scene where Dominic stops an engine from falling on someone when he holds someone out a window, when he's just generally, like, a very strong person. In this movie, they take it to a superhuman level where he actually lifts the front of a, don't remember the name of it because I don't know cars, but it's a very nice car and it's bulletproof.
Very expensive car.
And they go out of the way to describe the fact that the engine actually isn't in the front of the car, but I looked it up and this car is supposed to be 1,380 kilograms, and without the engine, it's actually... only 400 kilograms, where he would be lifting it
from.
And
what's that in English?
That is 800 pounds.
Okay.
Nice. Roughly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I round it around, but it's about 800 pounds.
It's not light.
It's still...
But it's not as heavy as I thought it was going to
be. From a dead weight and the way he's lifting it, it is still...
A lot.
Almost physically impossible for a human to do.
Is...
I think you could just say physically impossible
for a human. But he's not technically, like, lifting the entire weight of the car, though. Because some of it's still on the ground.
That's correct, but And I'll be honest with you, Ben, I did not read the full article that talked about the geometry and the, like...
But they said it was impossible for...
They said it was impossible to nearly impossible, yes.
Mm. Okay.
Yep. Right. And then the last section I want to touch on is, I'm calling it precision / endurance.
Okay.
And these are all of the times that Dominic makes what would seem to be reckless human decisions, but are actually... very quickly and accurately calculated Terminator decisions. So in this movie, we see him drive off of two cliffs, and he's fine in both situations. I mean, how else can you just, like, explain that?
I think I want to, like, even beyond that, in one of those moments, he tells his passenger to put on a helmet, which he does not then take that same advice.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't need it.
And gets out first in the car. Like, yep. He's like, I'm good.
He does this classic Dominic brace where he just grabs the ceiling of the car. That's what he does whenever he gets in a crash.
It almost looks like he's bracing the bottom and the roof at the same time.
Like, he's holding the car together.
He's holding the car together. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Which means he's, like, done that enough that he knows to, like, brace up there. Yeah. Because if I got an accident like that, my first inclination would not be to, like, brace myself against the roll cage above me.
He also, in one of the final scenes of the movie, drives his car off of a ramp that has been created from the parking garage that's crumbling around him, and he shoots into the sky and nearly hits a helicopter, and that is another, I think, precision driving moment that human, there's no way he could have calculated or known to do that, but because he's a Terminator, he's actually able to do that. And I apologize, but I'm going to have to backtrack here because there's actually one or two more strength moments I want to touch on. Okay. And one of them is in that same parking garage. The reason it's actually crumbling around him is because Hobbs, played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, started like shooting it up and there was an explosion and some other stuff that happened. But it was just kind of cracking. And as it was cracking, to make a point, Dominic Toretto stomped his foot. And then that was when everything, like, really started going to shit. And so, like, no human could actually, like, stomp his foot and cause a parking garage to fall to the ground. But a Terminator? Maybe.
I sure couldn't do that.
Yeah.
As much as I would like to.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Man,
Terminator. That's my final Terminator corner.
So how convinced are you that Dominic is a Terminator?
All right, and let's be serious about this. Like... Or let's break it into two. Sorry to make this complicated and like extend this out a little bit. But I want one to be like, all right, in one of the upcoming films, they're most definitely going to reveal that Dom is a Terminator. And two is, like, based on everything you've heard this week, how much you are for sure think that Dom is a Terminator. Whether or not they actually reveal it.
I'm going to give myself... So... I would say my hope is at 100%. Like, after all the things I've seen in these films, if they were to reveal that he was a Terminator, no part of me would be like, oh, come on. Like, every part of me would be like, yes, yes, yes. Like, I want this. This is what I need. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to separate my hope from the reality. If I'm being completely realistic, I'm probably at... an 85%?
You're 85% sure they're going to announce that he is a Terminator. Just wanted to make sure that's the percentage you're talking
about. Okay. No.
How sure are you based on the evidence, and how sure are you that they are actually going to announce it?
I'm 85% sure on the evidence that he could be a Terminator. Mm-hmm. And if not even, maybe even higher, it might be more like 95%. Because honestly, going back to Too Fast, Too Furious, the fact that they had Skynet in their TV screens, like, that to me, that is still my smoking gun. Like, that's my favorite piece of evidence. Because it was so subtle.
Yeah.
And yet, they made that choice.
Yep.
As far as them actually, like, announcing this, it's not going to be in this movie. Because I feel like the spoilers would have hit online by now that he was a Terminator. So, I'm going to go with more of, like, a... maybe 50-50, like, they could do it, they might not.
That is so generous.
It's very
But I love it. So you're 85%, sorry, You said you were 85% sure. It's true.
95%
sure it's true.
I feel pretty confident.
You put in the work.
I did, yeah.
All right, Ben, what about you?
All right. Amount that I think they're going to actually reveal it, I'm going to say 10%. Uh-huh. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. Like, hey, it's getting a little ridiculous, almost to the point of being too ridiculous that they need some reveal saying something.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the evidence as it's been presented to me, I'm going to probably go 80%.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Okay.
That's good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
The only thing is, like, there just needs to be that one scene where, like, Dom gets really damaged in the face and you just see a hint of metal.
Like, just metal. A glimmer?
Mm. Yeah, like, not a lot. That's all I need.
That'd be enough. That would be enough.
Or just, like, the light catches his eyes and you see the red.
Yes. 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 Ugh. Yes, please.
Look out for that on Friday.
I'm looking.
For me, I'm at, like, a... Honestly, like, a 3% that they're going to announce they're the same series.
Come on.
I just can't see them doing it. I feel like
it's a step to the studio, too far almost.
To the studio, it cheapens both brands to announce officially that they're the same.
And it is the same studio.
I'm not sure. I did some Googling and I couldn't figure it out quickly, so I gave up. But especially if they're different studios, it's never going to happen. If it's the same studio, I still don't really see it. It could happen, but I think... The studio is also aware that it's more fun to have your own beliefs and to share those with friends and people online. So I think the evidence is pretty strong. I think, like you said, 2 is the smoking gun. They include Skynet. I am aware that the writing staff on 2 and the writing staff on 7 is probably zero overlap. So I don't think
everyone... the same guy has written these films from Too Fast, Too Furious.
I doubt that. So I doubt that he's a Terminator officially in every movie, but I would say in like 40% of the movies that the staff's on board with it. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this has been the last episode of Leanna's Terminator Corner. It's been really fun. And, even though I'm saying goodbye to you all right now after so many days of hard work, I look forward to future projects, including Terminator Tuesdays.
Terminator Tuesdays.
Unofficial, but...
And yet there's so much more to talk about.
That sounds like the Terminator music.
It is.
It's kind of... Okay. But it also sounds like the Fast and Furious
Which we probably
music.
Can't use. We need to edit that.
It's fair use.
Yeah.
All right. Also, clarification on my previous about who is writing these films. It has been the same writer since Tokyo Drift. So not Too Fast, Too Furious.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
the mystery continues. Thanks, guys. It's been fun.
It has been fun. And I think with that, I think now's a good time to kind of start wrapping up this whole Munch Fast week, kind of get our thoughts, and then ultimately get the Munch ranking and deliberate about what that Munch ranking is.
Mm-hmm.
So do we just want to dive straight into the ranking? Just get that, air out all that dirty laundry?
I think so, and I think we'll learn a little bit about what we think the series is as we do that, and then we can kind of give our capstone and close out with that and say good day.
All right.
It was weird to start with Good Day. We got to end with Good Day.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm still planning on ending with Good Day. Okay. I just needed to cover my bases for the last episode.
Okay.
That's twice as many good days as I get in a usual day. So,
isn't it great to hear that then?
It makes it a better day.
See, if I can do that, my job here is done. All right. We're going to save the number one spot for last. We're going to reverse chronological order. So, number 7.
If we're doing reverse chronological as the ratings, it's already determined.
As the ratings.
Yeah, chronological is time-based. If we're doing reverse, started from the bottom, now we're here, kind of a Drake approach, then we'll start with the bottom.
Yes, that is what we're doing. The our least favorite, the lowest of the bunch.
So for me, it's between 2 and 4.
Andre?
It's so hard to separate with every single one of these movies what's the worst movie and what's the least enjoyable movie, because they're all fun to watch. But what is, I think, the worst? Like, okay, Are we, what, how are we doing this? What do we think is objectively the worst movie, or what is the one you'd be least likely to sit down and watch again tomorrow?
Like, it, this isn't supposed to be easy. Like, this is a ranking based on everything. Like,
and I think
not how it's taken critically, but how us as a Munch group feel about these films as a whole and everything they have to offer.
Think back to the criteria we
like, if you don't like Tokyo Drift and you want to see Tokyo Drift in 7, I will disagree with you. But you can still submit that.
For let's submit a couple and then we'll talk about those.
Well, you said 2 and 4.
2 and 4. I'm going to say 3 and 4.
Oh my gosh. Wow. This
He went there.
Yeah, this is going to get heated. I'm going to say 4.
Just 4. Okay.
Just 4. So can I, we all had 4 on our list. Can I pencil in 4 in the number 7 position?
I think we could pencil in four as number 7. And let's just quickly talk about why 4 felt the most removed from practical stunts.
It lacked. It lacked stunts.
Yeah,
big stunts.
Yeah,
stunts are a core, like they're a backbone to each entry into the series, and it was
a movie that was halfway between the races movies and the stunts movies, and it didn't really have a heart. It didn't really. It wasn't about racing. It wasn't about stunts. It was. And I read kind of bored. It was just about getting everyone together, but not in a fun way like 5 and 6 did. It was like...
In a lot of ways, it feels like a prelude to the back half of the series. And even though it's... Like, I'm not going to say it's a bad film. Because it's a prelude, it served a different purpose than the other films. And so, in some ways, it was about bringing everyone back together.
Yeah.
And, like...
Like, it's important within the series as a whole, and it represents the start of where Fast and Furious is now. So I don't begrudge it for that, but I think ultimately it's just kind of forgettable when you think, like, you think about 5, 6, and 7, and you have these stunts in your mind that you can immediately call up. When I think back to 4, the only thing I can really think about is at the very end of the film when Brian holds Phoenix, by the legs, and then Dom just rams him into a car, and like that's not a fun stunt. There's nothing enjoyable about that. And the tunnels, I think, are interesting in concept, but in execution don't present the tension and excitement that you would hope for.
Yeah.
So that's our piece on Fast and Furious.
Oh, all right, that's 7.
Quick question.
Yes.
We are excluding the short films from this, correct?
Yes, we are. Yes. Okay. Those are on their own. I mean, if we were excluding
those... We all
know
what Andre's least favorite would be.
I think... What, would you put Prelude to Too Fast, Too Furious?
I think we all know what it would
not be. At the bottom?
We've already spent too much time on this.
I think that's the second time we've said that in the series.
I think that's why she was saying that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That was a good joke. Callback.
So number 6.
Just like 7.
Good fan callback. Service. Fan service.
Yeah.
Number 6.
So for me, it would be number 2 then.
You're still at, like, Too Fast, Too Furious there? All right.
Yeah.
Andre.
I think it's Tokyo Drift for me.
I have to go Too Fast, Too Furious.
Okay. All right, this is going to get a little contentious.
Do you want to... Like, you can present a stand and present your point here, or you can save that for another film later on.
All right. I'm just going to say it.
You're going to say it. All right.
Lucas Black ruins Tokyo Drift. He's the lead and he is god-awful. At least Too Fast, Too Furious had Paul Walker. It had a great romance between Paul Walker and Tyrese Gibson. It had heart in that way. It had like... a connection between two characters, and Tokyo Drift was Lucas Black being an asshole, kind of bumbling his way around Tokyo, and it had, I mean, Tokyo Drift had style in some ways, but I had more fun watching Too Fast, Too Furious, and
I mean, I think
that's where I'm at with
quick
this.
Rebuttal. I think it's not Lucas Black who kind of is the main character of Tokyo Drift. It's actually Han. Agreed. Is the one you need to focus on, and Tokyo Drift is what it is, and like has such a place in my mind because it's the introduction of Han as a character and as a environment. And it starts kind of this race culture as a substitute for a club that you get later in the films, which you don't necessarily have to the same extent earlier on. Mm-hmm.
And I'm fairly certain that Han actually has more lines than Lucas Black. Like, if you look online, if you look online, Lucas Black famously has very few lines in that movie.
Hmm. He just doesn't have any good lines.
But he has a lot of, like, gross smiles, where he just, like, grossly smiles, and that also bugged me.
I mean, I am completely with you that Lucas Black is a horrible part of that film, and is one of the worst things about that, but I think everything else surrounding that film increases it in my mind, and the introduction of Han alone is for them to create a character at that moment in time that is so unique and kind of dynamic with his elements of nihilism, while still being philosophical and kind of having his, like, solidifying his idea of what the world is, and then it having it work so well after watching 5 and 6 and seeing Giselle's death, and having that character still resonate when you actually go back to watch Tokyo Drift, kind of all makes Tokyo Drift all that much more impressive.
For me, it's the fact that they resolve the major conflict in the film with the race.
That's also great.
And it's I think the most egregious use of the Fast and Furious world being ruled by races, because it's so unrealistic that the boss, like a Yakuza, like boss would be fine with like this dumb like expat being like, yeah, I'll race you. I don't know.
I do appreciate that moment.
Yeah, that moment's really great.
It is quite the moment.
But it's that moment for me defines my Tokyo Drift experience.
All right. Well, in the interest of time and votes, I'm say since it's 2-1, let's put Too Fast, Too Furious there.
All right.
But are you good with that, Ben?
Yes.
Okay.
But you shouldn't let time dictate this. If you don't like this, is
this is a big choice.
This is the list we are going to look back to. Years on and add.
I said my piece, and I know Tokyo Drift gets the next spot anyway, so it's fine. Like, can you honestly say Tokyo Drift is better than 5, 6, 7, or Fast and Furious? You can't. No. I know it's just going to get the next slot, so I'm not that upset about it. It's going to be my next slot. It has to be. It's not better than any of those movies. It has to be. Do you disagree? Do you think it's better than... If you're going to sit down tomorrow, tomorrow's bad because we've just watched so much Fast and Furious, but like a month from now, are you more likely to like sit down and enjoy 5, 6, 7, or 1 or Tokyo Drift?
Well,
I don't know. Ben's got a certain nostalgia, so that's not really fair.
Mm-hmm. So in all honesty and being completely transparent, I would probably put Tokyo Drift above Fast and Furious 6, and it would be a close tie with the Fast and the Furious, in all honesty. But it sounds like both of you are at the are good with leaving Tokyo Drift in the 5 spot. So I think that makes sense. I've said my piece about Tokyo Drift, and I feel comfortable about that. And definitely on my own list, it would be on higher. I do kind of want to briefly talk about Too Fast, Too Furious because we threw it on there without giving it its moment. And I think we all really like Too Fast and Furious. It has its moments, but ultimately the villain itself is just...
He's pretty bland.
Yeah, and he falls very flat, and the film doesn't resolve around a big race. It just kind of... It has these great moments, and it's propped up by these great moments.
And the friendship in it is just, like, I want to be in their group of friends.
Yes. But everything in between just franchise. Falls flat. Like yeah, it has some of the highest highs, but also some of the very lowest lows, and it's the lows that ultimately bring.
That's true.
Down. The scene with the rat is like, just unforgivable.
Tyrese Gibson is one of my favorite actors in this series.
Yes,
and I know like he's just the comedic relief, and that's cheesy, but.
But you, whatever. I really like him. Want to be the comedic relief?
No, but he's hilarious, and he just gets better in every movie. But really not like he started out low. Like, he was better than Ludacris as far as additions that came in Too Fast, Too Furious go. Ludacris is definitely the bigger name, but I think Roman does a lot more for the series than Luda does.
Yeah, I would agree. Okay. All right. So I think the list gets hard now.
It does.
So in that number four slot, I would put Fast and Furious 6, which I know Liana.
Yeah.
I know that's a tough selfie.
I'm rethinking though. I'm rethinking after this last watch.
After rewatching it, correct me if I'm wrong, but the start of Fast and Furious 6 is too slow.
The action is
more evenly paced through the other movies.
It starts good.
The end is over the top.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yes. No. Oh, incredible. You want Fast and Furious to be over the top, and it is, and then some.
Yeah, like, if you take just the second half of Furious 6, it may rank as one of the best Furious films.
Yeah.
But you have to slog through that first half.
I agree. Yeah. I think it's the next one in the ranking.
I think so, too.
So everyone's there?
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
Okay.
And it's tough because it literally is split in two, and the first half is just unforgivably boring.
It is. And the two halves of it feel so separate from each other.
Totally.
And also, we're not even talking about the whole moment where Brian goes to prison real quick and then comes back.
No, there are a lot of unnecessary moments.
Is like,
as we were watching it, too, like, I remember there was a shift in the action where I was like, oh, this is when it starts becoming the movie that I thought was my favorite.
Yeah.
Right. Because you always talk about, you always say, like, 6 is my favorite. They have the tank scene with the Superman part where Dom catches Letty in the air. And they have the plane and Giselle. But all of that happens in, like, the last 30 or 45 minutes.
And it's so easy to just remember those high moments.
That's how you remember the Fast and Furious. That's the one with the car jumping between buildings. That's the one with Superman jump across the freeway. That's the one with the street racing. That's the one with the rat. Like, that's how you think about them.
That's the one with the rat.
Yeah.
Like, that's so how I think about them, at least.
I think 6 is our next one. Okay. And I think we can all agree.
I think we're all happy with that.
Yeah.
All right.
Now it gets so tough.
All right. Number 3. I'm going to just come out and say it and say Furious 7.
I'm torn. I'm really thinking, like, it's so difficult for me to compare 7 and 1. I'm trying just in my mind to compare 7 and 5. And
it's between 7 and 1 for me right now.
I think 5 is better than 7 in my head. I had more fun. I was more hyped. I was really, like, I think that was really the pivotal moment for Fast and Furious.
Like our excitement and movement into Furious 7.
Yeah, maybe.
And just that ramp up to that movie. Is that what you're talking about?
Or just the series as a whole, like going from street racing or just being an action movie to being this like ensemble heist action movie, with fast cars in it.
Yeah.
And I like that. But 7 was a lot of that same stuff, minus the heist, but more over the top. God, that's tough. What do you think, Liana?
I think it's 7 for me.
7 is lower on the list?
Yeah, because 7 doesn't even really have a proper street race in it.
Mm-hmm.
At best, they once again go to Race Wars, which in 2015, they still didn't realize that was a terrible name for something.
But I think we can blame Race Wars. I mean, that's a real thing. The Fast and Furious franchise.
That's true, because Race Wars is actually a real thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So I apologize.
Which we briefly
still, it was weird
talked
to
about
hear
going to and cosplaying as Fast and Furious characters.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to sponsor our trip, we would be happy to go. We'll record a podcast while we're there. I don't care. Anyway, I think it's 7 for me because it feels like the fullest departure from those original races.
And that's what that's your favorite part of the series? Is that why you're ranking it lower?
It's that, and I guess was really disappointed with Mia's role in 7. Mm-hmm. They really push her to the back burner, and I'm sure that was done in part to emphasize that Brian was going to become a family man, and that was done because Brian could not continue in the series because mm-hmm. Paul Walker passed away. So, maybe they envisioned her still having a role in the franchise, and it was a decision that they made to help write his character off.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, 5 still... 5 and 1 both rank higher because Mia had a more mm-hmm. pivotal role. Okay. And that's going to be the deal breaker for me because there's too many other parts of all of those movies that I love in their own way. Mm-hmm. And so I have to find mm-hmm. something to break yeah. them apart.
It's getting really tough. It's getting really thing. Tough to like kind of at Parcel. This point, like kind of diss on one of your very good yeah. friends. Like I like 7 a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would watch 7 again.
Yeah.
We just watched it. I would watch it again.
Yeah.
No problem.
It's the one I've seen the most.
But besides the Fast and the Furious.
Well, yeah. that's a whole other thing. What about you, Ben? What are your thoughts on, 5 versus 7? Because we haven't even gotten into 7 versus 1. But yeah. I think 1's going to win out.
I was doing 7 versus 1 in my mind.
Yeah, okay, you were. Okay.
So, I think my biggest issue with 7 is that it feels more a collection of moments that are then... they try to figure out the strings that fit between mm-hmm. them. And so you have that mountain scene where they parachute down. You have the scene in Dubai. You have the scene in LA. And they're also separate and it doesn't come together to make a cohesive whole.
Set piece to set piece.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, I get that.
And then when you look at the Fast and the Furious and you look at Fast 5, they feel like full, complete films that thought about their location and how totally. They get from point A to point B. And they thought about all those moments in between. And it's not just a collection of parts.
Yeah, it makes the story... I mean, the setting is part of the story and not a setting for... this is going to be a cool backdrop
yeah.
for a cliff sequence yeah. or a car shooting out of a tower sequence. Yeah. I totally get that.
I think it's 7, you guys.
Yeah, I think it's 7.
I think we're there.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Okay, so it's 7.
Which is also my one of the biggest things I'm afraid of in forthcoming films is that it's mm-hmm. gotten so big at this point that they just have to go everywhere across the world for it to mm-hmm. be big and explosive. And I think there's a reason why The Fast and the Furious is still not ranked on our list is because it has a certain amount of heart. It set up all this. There's a simplicity mm-hmm. to it and there's a tightness to the film that didn't need these crazy big stunts. We were still satisfied with those moments where a car just drives underneath a semi.
Yeah.
We should start talking about 1 and 5 now.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we're
basically making
place.
Our number one pick here.
Yeah, we are. That's true.
So let's fight for number one. Before we make our arguments, mm-hmm. I just want to get a sense for where everyone is at in the room with what their number one pick is.
It's 5.
I'm leaning towards 5.
That's 5 for me too.
It's definitely
okay.
5.
Okay.
Well, all right. So
that's an argument. Okay, then it's not an argument. It's a justification.
True blog synergy,
yeah.
you guys.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
I love 1. I love The Fast and the Furious.
One has grown on me so much
yes.
over the course
Same.
Of the years.
Yeah.
Same.
It's just such an incredible... there's so many great moments. You have an incredible villain in Johnny Tran.
Such a great dad.
Such a great dad.
Number one dad.
The police officers in that film, are like
not Johnny
quirky.
Tran. It sounds like right now to the listener, it sounds like Johnny Tran's number one dad.
No.
That's
for
not
sure
it.
Does.
That's not it.
That's why I was trying to quickly. Yeah. Police officers,
the police officers.
No. Cop dad.
In that film are a little quirky and a little just. They're not great at their jobs with the
lattes.
Yes. Everything about them. There's a heart to that film and they went into it and it's like. All right, these aren't just normal people. They have a background. They have likes and dislikes, and they're different, and they're okay with that, and they accept that.
And it really feels like they just This was the first film, and from that film forward, I was convinced that we were in this universe where street racing was king, and there were different laws and different priorities and different ways of the world working, and they involved street racing.
Yeah.
And that movie laid the groundwork and made everything else so believable, because it was, despite its flaws, it's still such a strong entry and beginning to the Fast and Furious world.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And even if there's a lot of stuff I like later in the franchise, like just how some of the women start to have larger roles within the heists, how the...
That would be five for me, because you got Mia, you have Giselle.
How the entire dynamic of the group as a whole kind of comes together, and you have these different personalities that like have their moments to shine that you don't get to the same extent in the Fast and the Furious, which is like both a comment on the Fast and the Furious and Fast Five. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, Fast Five, like, it's, I mean, I think I like it more because it is more formulaic. And that formula of action movies and
heist
movies
has
been designed because it works.
Yeah.
Where no one's making street racing movies because it doesn't, like, Fast and Furious is great.
It's a harder sell.
That whole, the genre of street racing movies is not something that resonates with a lot of audiences. And I say resonate, not like it. My life, I see parts of my life in Fast Five. Just Fast Five works. Like, Fast Five is fun to watch. It follows the action. It's a great example of the best of action movies.
Yeah.
It follows that formula. It improves on it, and it sets a new standard for action movies.
It has its big stunts, but its stunts are also very creative. It's not just jumping from one building to another. It's rolling a safe through the city of Brazil, of Rio de Janeiro. It's
They switched the safe out
exactly when you weren't looking.
Yeah.
Which is like such that. That moment has been done before, specifically in the Oceans franchise, but
not so fast and so furiously.
Yeah, it's. You just add the element of cars to it, and also the element that, like, eventually this group of people reach the point where they just have to throw out all the planning they did because that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And they just go off gut instinct, and you're there for it. You're there for the ride. You enjoy it. The villain isn't great by any means, but I think that's okay because the villain ultimately is just a moment in the film that is so strong and enjoyable otherwise.
But he also represents like a cause worth fighting against more than any other villain does. He's like the corrupt South American politician who's monopolizing oil and making life hard for everyone, and that's kind of
that his point. Thing is drugs, but
I mean, but he was also kind of creating a corrupt police force, something.
Oh, it was a tale of corruption, and they took him down. Like, wasn't like his the scenes where he was acting and like what they had him do didn't make him this like, you know, ruthless killer that you just can't wait to see be taken down. But it almost gives them like a Robin Hood quality when they're going up against him. So it works. Yeah. It still works.
I mean, that's like it's the worst people in the world, right? The worst people in the world are the people who are corrupted in a position of power. And those are the ones you want to see come down, even if they're not as exciting as a Jason Statham who's like blowing stuff up. And
they're not actively doing the killing, but the people under them are doing the killing, and they are the ones perpetrating it all and like controlling it all.
Yeah, Five's a great film.
Yeah.
I think it feels good as that being number one.
Bottom to top.
Reverse chronological.
So coming in at number seven is Fast and Furious. Number six is Too Fast, Too Furious. Number five, Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. Number four, Fast and Furious 6, or also known as Furious 6. Number three, Furious 7. Number two, The Fast and the Furious. And number one, Fast 5.
I'm good with it.
Yeah, feels good.
It's so funny because I remember...
Feel good. Feels right.
Just like, I think it might have been... When did Fast Five come out? 2013?
13.
Yeah. I remember walking past the video store and I think it was when Hollywood Video was still open on Broadway and they had Fast Five in the window, like gigantic poster that covered the whole window for it.
2011.
Okay, that makes more sense because I don't think Hollywood Video was open, but I remember seeing it in Hollywood Video and just kind of rolling my eyes and thinking I'm never going to see that movie. And look where I am now. Made the top of the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is quite the movie.
Hollywood Video hasn't stuck around, but Fast Five has.
And it will continue sticking around.
Yeah.
I will continue watching Fast Five, perhaps on a yearly basis, just because it's a good time.
Yeah, it's fun. Good, almost not quite also, clean, but it's fun.
Also, one of my favorite meals that we've cooked for the blog, we had some...
Yes.
We looked into some Brazilian cuisine, and we made a caipirinha, which was very good. The cachaça took a really long time to finish after that, but it was a fun experience. And
you haven't purchased cachaça since?
No, but it was, that was, you know, it was kind of all around. Like, I have fond memories of Fast Five, and I'm glad it's our number one.
Yeah. Any other final thoughts on, it can be Furious 7. I think we'll probably have a podcast for Fates of the Furious. I think that makes sense at this point.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to talk about where it fits into our rankings. And yeah, it would also be interesting to talk about Charlize Theron as the new villain, because we have not had a female villain in the Fast franchise ever. So
I wonder how villainous she really is. She may be like on their side in a way they don't know.
I mean, she's like pretty villainous because she makes out with Dom in front of Letty, and that's pretty unforgivable.
We don't know her story yet.
We don't. So I'm making assumptions, but
it would not
be
the first time the bad guy has had to join the good guys later at some point. We'll see.
Well,
and we all know that she's a hacker if you watch the second trailer to this movie. And we also all know that Dominic Toretto is a Terminator, so it's possible she hacked him. I can't wait to find out.
I mean, I think the biggest...
This, if you're going to find out, this is going to be the movie. This is going to be the movie where they announce it.
Oh, it'd be so good. Like,
it's fine if
not. Yeah. They're setting it up for it. I think the biggest piece of villainy on her is probably the dreads she wears. But
why?
That is a whole nother story.
That's on costume. The costume department. Mm-hmm. Right? Like,
it's not
come
great.
On.
It's not great.
Ugh.
This has been another episode of the Munch Podcast. I do have a code name for you, and it is based off of a tweet from Ira Madison III at Ira on Twitter, who says, your serial killer name is your favorite cocktail plus your favorite celeb who committed vehicular manslaughter.
Ooh.
And while it's not going to be a serial killer name for me, it's going to actually be a code name I would use. Head back to our Too Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious podcast for more information about that. So it's going to be Margarita Broderick.
Ooh.
Is the code name.
I
did
love
Matthew
it.
Broderick commit manslaughter?
Yeah, he did.
Yikes. I did not know that.
In 1987.
Thank you for the hot fact and the code name, Ben.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
Margarita Broderick? Is that right?
Margarita Broderick.
Can't wait to find out what that means.
Yeah.
It won't be on the podcast because it's a code name. It's a secret.
It could also mean nothing. this has been another episode of the Munch Podcast. You can find our content on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest, all which are Get Munched Up. Our website, which we host all of our content, is getmunchedup.com. Please send us emails, comments, anything you want at getmunchedup@gmail.com. And we would love it if you could rate, comment, and subscribe. And with that, good day.